It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We will meet the new state poet laureate of Wisconsin who hails from Eau Claire. But now let's get a few words in on our winter membership drive, which is in full swing here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Sheila Shigley. Good morning.
Good morning. So happy to be here.
And we're here to say that you count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations, and we count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
That is because listener support is the largest piece of the funding that makes this show and all the other shows you love on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. That is why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And right now, when 110 people become a WPR sustainer or increase their ongoing monthly gift, Wisconsin Public Radio will receive $25,000 in challenge funds from a group of generous current members.
That is such a great number. It's a scary number and it's a wonderful number. Mm-hmm. It is their way of encouraging you to join them in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio. So build reliable funding for WPR now with your new or increased monthly gift. You can do it online at WPR.org, or if you'd like somebody to walk you through it a little bit, you can call 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to WPR in part because we're commercial free, and that means we depend on other sources of funding. State funding, federal, business sponsors, super important. But there is another source that's really important, too.
The largest piece of the funding for WPR programs comes from you. That means that you are the heroes. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of how things work here. When you give, you keep quality, independent news, talk, information, music, all the things you tune in for on the air. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, that is just simply not true. It is gifts from tens of thousands of people combined together that make WPR programs possible.
So true. And you know, Kate, sometimes I've been on the other end. I've been taking phone calls and people sometimes say that they're a little worried that they aren't giving enough, or they think it's not going to matter. It all matters. There's no wrong amount. Whatever works for you, you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Where do you want to go for your next vacation?
I would go to New York City and see some Broadway shows.
I would go to the UP to ski.
Someplace warm. I would take a friend of mine and we'd just go chill out on the beach.
Give any amount and you could win a $1,000 travel agency gift card for your next adventure. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find out all the details at WPR.org/drawing. Make your gift of any amount right now to be automatically entered. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Your support during this winter member drive makes the WPR programs that you love possible. So your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And giving is easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Indeed, it takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes of your time, they fund your daily listening. Your support right now, it absolutely makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A group of generous members will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 110 people, including you, step up to support the programs you count on with an ongoing monthly gift. And I see one of our producers has just said a call came in, so thank you for that. Become a new sustainer or increase your currently monthly contribution to be counted. Join in at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
And here's a nice benefit, a side perk, if you will, as a sustainer. You're automatically entered in member drive drawings, and this could be your lucky drive. We have a drawing for a $1,000 travel agency gift card. So head to beach, the mountains, explore new places here in Wisconsin. There are so many fun possibilities to dream up. And you can't win if you don't enter. You've heard that before. So make your contribution now. Secure your chance to win at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can join Dave in Palo Alto, California. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for listening out there. He says, I never fail to learn something useful for my day or week on the morning show.
I love it. Your gift's so important at WPR.org. And thanks. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're in conversation with the new state poet laureate of Wisconsin. Nicholas Gulig is here, a UW-Whitewater associate professor, and has started his two-year term serving as the statewide emissary for poetry and creativity. Call in to talk with the poet laureate, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Nicholas Gulig, congratulations and welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. I appreciate it.
What do you hope to accomplish now as Wisconsin's Poet Laureate?
I'm still trying to figure that out. the wildly busy, and fertile position that I'm slowly kind of learning the reins. I think the way that I'm trying to think of this position is, in some ways, kind of counter to the ways that, like, I relate to the act of writing a poem, right? So it's a really different. The position is all about poetry, but it's very different than what it is that I do when I sit down and write a poem. When I sit down and write a poem, like, that's an inward turn, right? That's a solitary moment in my life. Like, I actually, like, leave my house. I have a little cabin in the backyard that I built with my uncle. And I kind of seclude myself and I look at an empty page, but this position is very different than that. This is an outward facing position. This is a public position. This is a social position. And so in some ways the position kind of changes my relationship to poetry, and I'm really grateful for that. I think if there's anything given the extent that that's true that I want to accomplish, right, it's not to focus on myself, but it's to focus on other people, on other poets and other writers in Wisconsin, and all the people doing the kind of quiet, secret, unheralded work of making these kind of creative language spaces in our communities, right? Like there's all these people doing that work, and they do it under the cover of night, if you will. And I think one of the opportunities that I have is that I get to kind of use this platform, right, which is public and outward facing, and which has a certain amount of attention that comes with it, and I get to kind of lend that attention to other people. I think more than anything, that's what I think I'd like to do for 2 years.
I wonder, you know, you mentioned it being such an outward-facing and social job. How would you like to connect with young people during your term?
Actually, it's funny you asked that. The first thing I did, the first official thing I did as the Poet Laureate of Wisconsin, as I went to my daughter's fifth grade class, my daughter goes to Luther Elementary School in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, and I spoke with them about poetry and dreams, right? So thinking, you know, actually like stepping foot into classrooms, that's one thing that I want to do. A project that I'm kind of scripting a proposal for that I actually have to turn in the project proposal later this afternoon has to do with constructing high school teaching curriculum based around the poet Laureen Niedeker's trip around Lake Superior, right? So one of the things I'm hoping to be able to do as Poet Laureate is secure some funding to help me kind of recreate that trip and kind of create a teaching resource out of the recreation of that trip that would allow high school students, college students in the state of Wisconsin to use Nitaker's as an example of someone who kind of went on this pilgrimage to a body of water in the state of Wisconsin and, of course, Canada also and Minnesota, but went to this kind of significant body of water in her part of the world and used the notes and the geologic and the historic research from that trip as kind of fodder for creative language, right? One of the things I want to do is construct a resource that allows students to think of poetry in that way.
In the process, it would help students see Wisconsin and hear Wisconsin in a whole new way through poetry.
I think that's one of the things that there's a lot of things that poetry can do, and there's some things that poetry can't do, but I think one of the things that at its best that it does really, really well is it refocuses our attention on the things that matter, that we oftentimes, because of the kind of crazy, busy, distracted modern lives that we live, forget that matter. Like, so when I talk to my students about images in the classroom, for example, right, images is like a substantial currency. I hate that word, actually. Images is one of the things that poetry does so well. And I talk to my students about how important images are. And I talked to them about a tree that's outside my house in my front yard, right? And it's, you know, it's a tree like in any other tree in a middle-class, lower-middle-class neighborhood in the state of Wisconsin. And I walk past that tree every single day of my life multiple times, and I never stop to look at it. But every once in a while, right, like if I'm coming home at a certain time of day and the light is right and the angle of the light is right, or if it's a certain time of month, right, the tree just like pops out of its kind of insignificance and it's suddenly like the most beautiful thing in the world. And of course it is that all the time. I just don't ever notice, right? Forget to pay attention. And I think if poetry is anything, it's an intentional act of sustained attention, right? Using language as a kind of looking glass to try to see the world in a way that keeps the world alive for us. And by virtue of that, it helps us to feel alive as well.
Nicholas Gulig, author of three books, named State Poet Laureate last month by the Wisconsin Poet Laureate Commission. Call in with thoughts and questions, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The two-year term of the new State Poet Laureate is underway, and we're exploring their background and what inspires poetry. Now we check in on the momentum of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. I'm here with Sheila Shigley. And listeners, that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's an exciting day. We have an all-day challenge, which means that today when 110 people, including you, become a monthly sustainer or increase their ongoing support, a group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds to WPR.
It is their way of encouraging you to join them in sustaining the WPR programs that inform you, that inspire you, and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Your participation now is vital. Be one of the 110 monthly contributors to meet this challenge before the end of the day. You can start or increase your monthly donation. You can do it online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, it's so uplifting to have the State Poet Laureate for, you know, just for a spell, but to really value elevating the voices in the humanities, in the arts, and slowing down and having meaningful discussions. You know, these are important things. They're not sound bites or short tweets, and I hope you find it valuable too. These are the kinds of conversations that we nurture here on The Morning Show.
And it all happens thanks to listeners. WPR is listener-supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552 makes all of the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And the easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustainer. And that means that your monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month, $100 a month, any amount you choose continues month after month, year after year. Get started now. It feels really good at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a cozy new thank you gift this drive. It's the WPR Beanie. Show off your support through our long Wisconsin winters with this olive green cap featuring the WPR logo on a leather patch. Ask for yours when you get $15 a month or more now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this winter member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. The WPR programs that you enjoy each day, they're possible thanks to your support. And so your contribution of $10 a month, $100 a month, or whatever amount you set it at, it makes a difference for our entire community.
And maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel, I've done my part. Well, it is your continued support that makes the essential news, interesting conversations, and cultural content, the music, all that you love here on WPR possible today and into the future.
And so if it's been a while since you donated, this is a perfect time to renew at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and we will be glad to have you back.
Today, a group of generous members will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 110 people, including you, step up to become a WPR sustainer. Or if you're already a sustainer, you can increase your current monthly contribution. If you do that today, you'll help us meet this challenge. So build reliable funding for WPR with your sustaining gift now. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW-Whitewater faculty member Nicholas Gulig is the new State Poet Laureate of Wisconsin for a two-year term with the goal to promote literature and poetry in this statewide role. Join in with the Poet Laureate, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Nicholas, let's make space for one of your poems. Can you share In Our Gardens, Forests Are Prepared?
I would love to. This is actually the reason I chose this poem to read is this is the first poem that I finished as a poet laureate at Wisconsin. I felt that it was right. This is a poem. It's a love poem. Like, it was just Valentine's Day. This is a love poem for my wife. It's about moving back to the United States. In our gardens, forests are prepared. Our being here together is the night-struck violet plucked from an edge-blue curve of air. The light does not absolve us. Because we named our children in the shadow of a failing garden, the white rose listens. I love the thousand shades of you. Every morning, our daughters sleep beyond themselves in day glow. The house grows quiet in their wake. To the place where you should be, I lash the ache of every brightness I've disfigured, the years that we have left. Bury with me the bottom half of fence posts in the yard. Pack the loose dirt harder. These days, I'm beginning to believe that I belong here. Because we chose to raise our children in the center of an empire, the low grass glistens in the west wind. At night, the sky edge finds us staring at our hands. It is easy to forget we left a world for this one.
Thank you so much for that and those words. That last line, it is easy to forget we left a world for this one. Can you share a little bit about living in Thailand?
Yeah, so in 2011, it's hard to remember now, 2011, I I did a Fulbright fellowship in Bangkok, Thailand. Thailand is where my mother is from, right? So I'm half Thai. My mother immigrated to Eau Claire, Wisconsin to go to college, which is where she met my dad. And so Thailand's been a part of my life, you know, since before I was born. I got to spend real time there as a Fulbright fellow in 2011. And then I went back again. I started going back every year after that, even as a PhD student at the University of Denver. And that's where Thailand is where I met my wife. I would spend my summers in Khon Ken bartending at a bar that my friend owned, and my wife was a waitress there. And so I kind of lived half in the United States, half in Thailand for about 5 years after I graduated from Denver. I moved back to Thailand. I was teaching there. And then in about 2015, my father passed away. And I had that feeling that I think maybe all children have when who are living far away from their parents, when a parent dies, is you have the thought of like, what am I doing halfway around the world, right? Like, I should have been there more or something like that. And so I started looking for jobs back in Wisconsin. Job at the University of Whitewater, where I teach today. And I moved back in 2016. And 2016, I don't know if folks remember, was a hard time to be immigrating brown people to the United States. It wasn't pretty. The rhetoric kind of floating in the air, and the kind of feeling floating in the air wasn't especially hospitable to people like me and like my family. And so my wife and I were nervous about moving back to the United States at that time, but we did, and we've made a life for ourselves here in Fort Atkinson. The community's been incredibly welcoming. The community's been really wonderful to us. And the poem stems out of that, like building a garden with my wife in our backyard and trying to remember where we came from.
Nicholas, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Nicholas Gulig was named last month the Poet Laureate of Wisconsin. He's an associate professor at UW-Whitewater, author of North of Order, Book of Lake, and Orient. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin on the line to discuss cracking down on foreign farmland ownership through her Farmland Security Act, other issues facing Congress as well. Now let's check in on the progress of our winter member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm with Sheila Shigley. We're here to say you count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Today, when 110 people become a sustainer or increase their monthly gift, WPR will secure an extra $25,000 in challenge funds. It comes from a group of very generous current members.
Let's unlock those funds. It's their way of encouraging you to sustain Wisconsin Public Radio. An ongoing monthly gift is a powerful way of donating because it provides reliable funding for the programs you count on. So join in now. Start or increase your monthly donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You share every weekday morning with this program. Your morning wouldn't be the same without interesting guests talking about a wide variety of topics. The Ideas Network is here. When your alarm clock wakes you up to it, or while you share breakfast in the kitchen with us, or drive to work with us, your support makes these morning conversations possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888 202-2552.
And as the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example, things you enjoy and that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to listen to WPR because it informs me, enriches me, and also kind of challenges me. It's just wonderful. I listen the minute I wake up on the way to work, when the work day is done, in the evening, and we even have the radio on for our pets during the day. I became a sustaining member, first of all, because of the convenience. It helps me be a part of WPR in a significant way because it's ongoing. It's a way to keep the mission going, and my small part, I think, plays a part in that. I'm David from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yes, join David. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is the Winter Member Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that makes an important impact.
And what do you spend $10 on? Maybe it's cafe goodies. I personally have a weakness for chai, which takes up about half of those $10. Books, games, apps on your phone. These are all things that make your day better, just like Wisconsin Public Radio. And with a gift of $10 a month, you can make a difference for the public service you rely on.
When you support WPR, you join a village. You join a community of 50,000 people who give what they can for the support of the programs they value. So join in now. Give $10 a month. Whatever amount it feels right for you. Every gift is powerful. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today and today only, a group of generous members will give WPR an additional $25,000 when 110 people, including you, step up as a new or increasing monthly supporter. More than half our members are now sustainers. It's a wonderful way to give. It's easy to get started. All you have to do is set up an automatic monthly gift from your bank account or a credit card. And I always like to point out that you're in complete control. You can start, stop, change that at a click of a few buttons. You don't have to rely on anybody else. So just know that it's really easy to control that giving. Join today's challenge. Become a new sustainer. You can do it at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin here to discuss issues before Congress. First up is how to protect farmland from foreign interests that could create security risks. Foreign investors control roughly 40 million acres of privately held agricultural land throughout the U.S., according to the USDA. The number to talk, 800-642-1234. Senator Tammy Baldwin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. It's great to join you.
The omnibus spending bill signed into law in December includes legislation you introduced requiring the Agriculture Department to submit annual reports to Congress on foreign investments in American agriculture. What are you hoping to learn from these reports?
Yeah, so it has been the law for a while that when a foreign investor buys agriculture land, that they must report it. We're not certain that these databases have been kept up and are 100% accurate. So part of it is just assuring the accuracy. But we want to go the next step and understand the impact on issues like our national security and our food security. When our farmland is bought up by foreign investors, often who do not live in the community, it has significant implications for our state and for these security issues.
Congressional Republicans, as you know, are introducing a series of bills this session, the Farm Act and the PASS Act, that would require a federal committee to review and possibly block foreign purchases of ag land and businesses. Do you support these bills?
Well, I'm proud to take this first step to track and make the information accessible for Wisconsinites and lawmakers to see what land is being bought and learn about how that impacts our domestic food supply, small family farmers, and national security. I think that information will provide a great basis for thinking about next steps.
In 2021, the USDA report said foreign investors controlled roughly 40 million acres of agricultural land, over 535,000 acres here in Wisconsin. That's around 2% of Wisconsin's private farmland. What do those numbers tell you? Is that a lot of Wisconsin land?
Well, one of the pieces of information that we've gotten is that foreign ownership has doubled in recent years. So that trend is something that catches my eye. The overall percentage may still be fairly small, but when we see activity increasing, doubling, we wanna be aware and I think vigilant about this. Right now, I think people find it hard to attain this information. And so I worked across the party aisle with Republicans to pass this legislation to create greater accessibility to this data and to additionally charge the U.S. Department of Agriculture with analyzing the impact on our rural communities.
Let's shift gears here, discuss the Chinese spy balloon shot down off the coast of South Carolina 12 days ago now, and then the three unidentified objects shot down by military jets in recent days. Are you satisfied with the Biden administration's response here?
The incidents we've seen, of course, have gotten everyone's attention. And I have, with regard to the large balloon that crossed the continental United States and was shot down off Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, I believe that the administration acted appropriately, and I am eager to hear their further analysis once they have recovered all the debris in fairly shallow U.S. waters off the coast. That mission is ongoing, and we expect to be briefed as they learn more and more. And we have been briefed repeatedly since that has happened. The three smaller unidentified objects, my understanding is that we still have not gathered debris and been able to start an analysis, basically because of the winter conditions under which the debris is, is isolated. So the first one shot off the northern coast of Alaska. It's 50 degrees below zero, and there's been a snow since that happened. And so the recovery effort may take some time, but I'm really eager to know what these objects are. And frankly, my tantamount focus is that Wisconsinites are safe and that these objects pose no threat to my constituents.
Do you think, though, that our military has the capability, has the resources to track objects like the Chinese surveillance balloon?
Right now, the answer is yes. I think that we learned throughout this instance that most of our radar and surveillance capabilities were not focused on that particular range of at that particular altitude. It's above where planes fly, and it's below where satellites are. And so there was not, I guess, a view that there was a need to. We're now doing it.
talking with Tammy Baldwin, Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Senator Baldwin, the omnibus package President Biden signed in December includes $10 million for rural mental health services. This certainly is on your radar. Is that enough money to give farmers the support they need?
Now, this is a really critical program that recognizes that farmers face unique challenges, like long hours, intensive physical labor, volatile weather, fluctuating crop prices that all can exacerbate and cause mental health issues. And in addition, there are certainly mental health services that are available out there, but we have to really look at how these fit with farmers and farm workers and the special stresses and needs. So it can be a very isolating job. You're out day long and not necessarily interacting with others. And so training the folks that you will interact with, family members, the person from the bank who's talking about the loan and the repayment plans, the person who's coming out to the farm, the veterinarian, or the person who's coming, say, at a dairy farm to collect the milk, to make everyone in our rural circles more aware of the signs of stress, depression, so that appropriate referrals can be made. And this is, a very, very focused program so that we can get help to those who are experiencing depression.
Which leads us to the Farm Bill. As we're talking about farming, the nearly $430 billion Farm Bill is up for reauthorization this year. What are you hoping to get out of the Farm Bill?
Well, there's a lot of priorities. We've already discussed two of them, which is tracking the foreign purchase of our farmland and bolstering the mental health services that are available for farmers, producers, farm workers. But in addition to that, I will be pushing for a robust reauthorization of my Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. That is a measure that I got in the last Farm Bill in 2018 that has helped dairy farmers across the country, but certainly in Wisconsin, add value to their operations on the farm or with their processors. This innovation initiative has allowed many to go from break even or loss to making their farms more profitable. And it provides not only small grants to maybe create a more efficient process on the farm, but also a lot of technical assistance. And so that'll be a big priority for me in the Farm Bill reauthorization.
I wonder if it would address the criticism that ag policy now is so geared toward consolidating land into CAFOs and these large-scale farming operations, which denies small family farms to stay small, denies first-time farmers an opportunity to get in the business. Can the
Yes.
Farm Bill address that?
Well, in fact, when we're talking about dairy, the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative does exactly that. These are grant funds that are available to small and medium-sized farms. This isn't a program that's oriented towards the large-scale operations. And frankly, if you look at the topography of Wisconsin, there are many parts of the state where you can't have a large, expansive operation. And we've had small and medium-sized farms in those parts of the state, like the Driftless region, for decades and decades. So we need to make sure that that we're supporting with technical expertise, but as well as small grants, the sort of innovation that can make small and medium-sized dairy farms competitive in this agricultural economy and getting ahead, turning a profit.
Senator Baldwin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tammy Baldwin is a Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, first elected in 2012. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it is the winter membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Sheila Shigley. We're here to say that as a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join us, and that is thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make The Morning Show possible and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
Today, when 110 people, including you, become a monthly sustainer or increase their ongoing support, a group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds to WPR.
That is awesome, and it is their way of encouraging you to join them in sustaining the WPR programs that you care about, that inform you and inform the entire state of Wisconsin.
Your participation now is vital. Be one of the 110 monthly contributors to meet this challenge before the end of the day. You can start or increase your monthly donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, it's really important to check in with our congressional lawmakers, like Senator Tammy Baldwin there, and which we do on a regular basis, having open lines, hearing questions posed by Wisconsinites, and just addressing the most pressing issues of the day. These are the kinds of connections that we foster here in Wisconsin and the kinds of conversation you can expect from The Morning Show.
And it happens because WPR is listener-supported. You're making this possible. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every single day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Why not enjoy the new WPR beanie?
Ooh.
Cozy olive green hat, great for today. Features the WPR logo on a leather patch. Show off your support for the programs you value. Ask for your WPR beanie with your gift of $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it.
It's just a comfort to me to have it on while I'm making dinner. And
gives you a whole different perspective on things.
Many, many times I've listened to the radio and it's made me laugh or cry.
Wisconsin Public Radio is my source
for connecting to the world.
For everything I like to hear on the radio.
For everyday listening.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Your support during this winter member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And so your gift now of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
Today, and today only, this drive, when 110 people become a sustainer or increase their monthly gift, WPR will secure an extra $25,000 in challenge funds from a group of very generous current members.
It is their way of encouraging you to sustain Wisconsin Public Radio now and into the future. An ongoing monthly gift is really a powerful way of donating because it provides reliable funding for the programs you count on. So join in now. You can start or increase your monthly donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how do you know it's time to donate to WPR? Well, you're listening right now during our winter member drive, and it is going to be a winter member drive today, I'm afraid. Whether you tune in for one favorite program or whether you check in repeatedly throughout the day or week, you've made a habit of listening.
Now make a habit of giving. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. When you give, you make the programs and services you've come to rely on possible. And it's easy to donate. Get started right now with your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I just want to give a shout out to Mark in Altoona, who says, I'm giving to sustain this very important source of balanced, truthful information. Your gift right now, so important, WPR.org. And thank you for your support.